Hi everybody, and welcome to the Titans of Publishing show. I'm here with my colleague Mark Hardy. Say hi.
Hi. Bonjour.
I'm Bill Davis, and we're actually going to talk about what we had talked about last week, just a continuation of the chat. Where last week we talked about tools that online publishers use to get work done and be more productive and that kind of stuff. So we're just going to kind of continue along that theme, and in that light, I've titled this episode, and let me see if I can get this right, Tool Time Times Two. So this is our second go at this, and I'm not going to say that more than once fast, because I can't.
At least we didn't do this on Tuesday.
It's Tool Time Tuesday.
Times two.
Times two. All right. So, just as a recap, last week we talked about some neat productivity tools like Brain.fm, which is a music app that you can listen to on your headphones and when you really need to focus. It's really good. We both use that app. Some other ones we talked about were what? You can chime in, Mark, any time because I'm drawing a blank.
Well, I mean, this is a week ago. That's like ancient history for friends.
I know.
So you posted a list. So I didn't reserve my brain cell capacity because, like, Bill's done a list. So
Yes.
you'll find it in the timeline. Let's
So another really good tool that I mentioned last week was a tool called Everything, and it's a really good it's a better alternative to Windows the Windows search function, where if you know any part of a file name, you type it in the box and it returns every file with that snippet in the file name, and you can restrict it based on what drive you think it might be on, or by file type, like whether it's a JPEG or a dot doc or whatever. Another tool we talked about was my all-time favorite, which is called Spartan MultiClip. Now, it's not a free tool. I think it costs 8 or 12 bucks or something like that, but I use it literally dozens and dozens of times a day because I find myself copying and pasting a lot of stuff over and over again. And I used to use like Robo, what did they call that? RoboForm or whatever, and it was a really neat form filler. Well, I found this to be just as effective, but it serves multiple purposes, not just filling forms. So there was that. But today, I think we want to get into some more like more hardcore type marketing tools, and specifically tools around how should I say this? Words. Tools around words.
I like it, and it's technically accurate. So
Yes. So I'm gonna let you take it away, and I'll chime in where I feel necessary. But go ahead, Mark.
okay, well, thank you, Bill. And I have to say, I mean, this is one of the things that I really enjoy because there's so many things out there, and a lot of times, who has time to look at it, sign up, install, test. So hopefully we can be of value to you, save you some time, because we're only using tools that we recommend we use every day in our own businesses. So that was the, I guess, disclaimer portion. So my first tool is something that, even though I am a writer by background, I was a advertising marketing copywriter for the bulk of my career at ad agencies and a creative director. But sometimes writing doesn't come as easily for other people like it does for me. And Bill, you're pretty good at writing too. The fact that we actually use these tools to enhance our writing should tell you something. My first tool is it's free. It's just a nice little app. There's a program called CoSchedule, which is a way you can kind of schedule your social media posts and kind of do things in an automated fashion. But that's not what I'm going to share with you. They have a headline analyzer. So all you do, and when I say headline, it could be you're working on a subject line for an email. It could be like you're working on a topic for a blog post that you're going to publish. It's a great way to get feedback, not just creatively, but it's going to give you feedback on what's going to be the most advantageous headline in terms of getting seen online. So I'm not going to give you the whole URL because it's a little complicated, but we are going to put this either in the chat or we'll do kind of a standalone document. But if you do a search for co-schedule headline analyzer, you'll find it. So it's a neat, again, free, just plop in your headline and see what returns.
Okay, cool. Very cool. I use tools like that too, and I have actually used this in the past, and I like it. It's pretty good.
You want me to keep going, or you want to toss in a tool?
Why don't you keep going? Because the tools I'm going to talk about today are not necessarily just based around words.
Okay. Well then, all right. Well, that's good to know. So, all right, I have two tools that do somewhat of the same function, but in different ways. So we all know that, look at what Bill and I formed. It's TOPS, Titans of Online Publishing. So with online publishing, you need to have the right keywords. So keywords aren't just for SEO, but, whether it's a blog post or anything you publish online, the more you can be, cognizant of putting in words that your audience or your potential customers or clients would be searching for, it's to your advantage. And it's funny because I remember in the good old days, in the Wild West days of search marketing, about the only keyword tool around was Google AdWords tool. It was okay, but it hasn't really changed a whole lot. I mean, over the years, and frankly, I think sometimes it doesn't even report correctly. I mean, I think a lot of times it doesn't show maybe not as competitive keyword phrases. So anyway, I have two keyword tools for you. And one is more instant gratification. The other one is a little bit more when you're doing a search for a lot of keywords. You could put a bunch of keywords in and see what returns. So the first thing is called Keywords Everywhere, keywordseverywhere.com. And basically what that is, it's an extension. So if you use Chrome or if you use Firefox, just install the extension. And what's really cool is if you put in a search phrase, let's just say, I just went for a dentist's appointment yesterday. And, I live in the Nashville area. I actually live in a suburb called Hendersonville. But let's just take the bigger city. If I put in the city Nashville dentist and I had keywords everywhere, it's going to show me how many searches per month for Nashville dentist. It's going to show me what is the current pay-per-click cost for that. And then if I scroll to the bottom, just your regular search results in Google or whatever search engine you use, it will also show you similar keywords, what that number of searches are, and what the cost per click is. So how to use this tool? You have a one-shot keyword, you're just curious. How many searches? And obviously the more money that people are willing to pay if they're running an ad for that keyword, the more valuable that keyword is. So I'm just curious, Bill, have you used or were you familiar with Keywords Everywhere?
No, that's new to me. So that's pretty cool. I'm gonna check it out.
Okay. All right. So I do some SEO for different clients. And so I found this, if I'm just curious, I just want to see I'm working with some personal trainers in the Houston area. And so, I'm just kind of doing some really quick searches. And for that purpose, Keywords Everywhere is great. Now, let's say you want more data. I mean, and you don't like a lot of the metrics the way, these online apps show because it's all text and it looks a little bit overwhelming. Well, then this is the keyword tool for you because visually It makes it very easy to understand what keywords are getting what results. It's all kind of got a nice color palette. And right now, there's a sense of urgency. Right now, it's still free. So it's actually going to be rolled up into a bigger search marketing app at some point. But that one is called KW Finder, KW Finder, F-I-N-D-E-R.com. And again, it's, you know, if you have a list of keywords, so let's say you've got, you know, 10 to 12 keywords, you know, based on your online marketing, fine, just, you know, put it in a text file and put it into this app and you'll get some results. And, you know, frankly, I like the results better from KW Finder compared to tools that I actually pay money for every month. So that's saying something. So anyway, yes, getting back to your thing, Bill, those word focus, just to recap, for headlines, co-schedule headline analyzer. For keywords, just a quick, you know, one word shot that's keywords everywhere. And then for more detailed keyword searches, that's kwfinder.com.
Cool. That's very helpful. I've looked at both of those tools while you were talking, and they, you know, from the appearance of them, they look pretty useful. So that's very cool.
I use them every day.
Awesome. Awesome. So two tools that I use every day, and it's in addition to the ones that we talked about last week, the first one is going to seem obvious to most of you, maybe not all of you, but it's Dropbox. You know, whether you're doing projects on your own or projects with clients, customers, whatnot, Dropbox for me has been indispensable. And there are other alternatives out there for file sharing and you know, putting files in an online, you know, in the cloud, so that other people can see them or share them or use them, edit them, whatever. There's Google Drive. There's, you know, there's Dropbox.
Isn't there Box.com? I think.
I think it's Box.net, but it might be Box.com. And I've literally over the last 2 to 3 years, I've tried many of them. Barracuda puts out one, or they put out
one. Well, actually, that was the one that I used to use. It was copy.com, and they eliminated it. They said that's not our business model, and so, you know, you had to move all your stuff out or it would have gotten deleted.
Yep. And there's also Microsoft has OneDrive. They're all very similar in terms of how they work, their cost, kind of the pricing tiers. What I've found, though, is Dropbox has two advantages that the other ones don't. The first advantage is more people that I work with use Dropbox than any of the other tools combined. That's number one. And number two, the file syncing, while problematic on most of them, is pretty darn good and fast with Dropbox. Now, I will say that if you upload a whole lot, let's say you have a project and you upload 10,000 pictures on your desktop to Dropbox, and then you open up your laptop, it will take some time for those files to sync. And not only that, it may make your laptop slow way down. So what I do, if I'm going to go to a client meeting, and I have to upload a bunch of files, especially if they're, you know, big files or take up a lot of space. What I'll do is I'll just open my laptop as I'm working on my desktop, because I do most of my work on my desktop. And I take my laptop with me to client meetings. I'll just open up my laptop and let it sync while I'm doing other things. Rather than, you know, upload all those files, you know, get in the car, go to the client meeting, open up the laptop, and sitting there waiting for things to sync. Now, that's a better situation than what I found with Google Drive. I really, really wanted to love Google Drive.
Me too.
I use Gmail. I use everything Google. I mean, everything that Google puts out, I use in some form or fashion, it seems. And I really wanted to like Drive. I still use Drive, kind of as a backup, but I do have a few clients who prefer Drive over Dropbox, but I have found that their file syncing is absolutely horrible. Like, it could take a couple days to sync what takes 10 or 15 minutes in Dropbox. No rhyme or reason. I've looked into all the settings. I've looked all, you know, high and low on the internet for, you know, how you can optimize this stuff. And that's just the way it is. I found it to be completely, like, unusable. But for onesie twosies, it's fine. Moving on. The next tool
that I use. Wait. Question, because I have a love-hate relationship with Dropbox. But stepping away from Dropbox, I'm curious, because I think people maybe misuse apps like this, and I'm just kind of curious, Bill, in terms of how you use it, how your clients use it, how your colleagues use it. You know, in my mind, and granted, maybe if you just want to throw a lot of money at the problem and get, like, you know, whatever, you know, 100 gigs or something, but I would use Dropbox as more file sharing, not file storage, because I don't know. I mean, like, it's good to have your files backed up, I have an external backup drive. I actually have several, but I'm just kind of curious, before we move on, what's your philosophy on what app, file sharing versus file storage, or do you use Dropbox for both?
I use Dropbox for both. One thing that I will say about Drive that's really neat is not necessarily just Drive, but the apps that are kind of contained within Drive, all the Google apps like Google Docs and Sheet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like being able to work on those with a client on a chat, like a video chat where we're screen sharing, and I can see what he or she is doing, and he or she can see what I'm doing, because the updates you make to, say, like a word processing document, a Google document, you can see what the other person is typing on the fly, like in real time. You don't get that with Dropbox. So I like that, but I actually do use Dropbox as storage and sharing. The storage piece of it gets a little dicey because they calculate the storage kind of in a weird way, so that every time you share something with somebody, it kind of like eats your available space by two. Mm-hmm. So I don't like that part of it. But all in all, and I'm a pretty heavy user. I think I'm using the 100. I want to say the, no, I'm using the 1 terabyte plan. And I'm finding that's not enough, but they don't have, unless you go like enterprise, they don't have anything in between. So, anyway, yeah, that's, I use it for both. I don't know whether I'm misusing it or not, or, it's working for me.
Well, let me ask you another question. I ran into this where, I was running out of storage capacity on my laptop. When you upload something to Dropbox, that doesn't remove the amount of, you know, whatever that, you know, let's say you have a video. I mean, I had like three videos that were, you know, over a gig. It was like 1.5 gigs. Now, if I upload that to Dropbox, that's not removing the 1.5 gigs from my hard drive, is it? Because Dropbox is syncing with my hard drive. So that's, you know, that's kind of an important point that I think people sometimes overlook, is that they think, oh, well, it's off my computer, so it should free up some space. No, not exactly.
that is very true. But that, you know, the flip side to that is now you have your file in two places. So if you screw it up, you can go get it from somewhere else.
And you have instant access to, you know, because we all know there are horror stories about, you know, crashes and, you know, losing data. So, yeah, so that's, and that's probably why it's configured that way. So,
yeah.
Okay, so I'm done grilling you on Dropbox. You can move on to your next app.
So the second tool I use, and it's one of those tools you have to pay for. I don't remember how much it was. It wasn't very expensive, like maybe $25-$30, if I remember right. And that's called Snagit. They're the same people, TechSmith, who make Camtasia, which is, you know, your video
screen capture.
Yeah. Snagit lets you capture. I use it. I probably don't use it to its fullest capacity, but I use it for simple screen grabs. You know, if I want to take a screenshot of this screen here, I can do it. And you can draw a boundary. You can set a size. And then you can annotate the image, where, you know, you can put arrows or put text over things. And it's just a really quick and simple way to capture screenshots. I use it a lot, and I really like it. And it doesn't seem to be resource intensive. It just works. In the past, I've used other tools. I think there was a built-in one with Windows 7.
I use that. It's the what is this? It's just like a, but it's just a very simple. A snipping tool is.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and
that gets the job done.
It's not just Snagit Lite. It's like barely even comparable to Snagit. Can I share how I use it? Because I think believe me, I don't think you could exhaust all the features with Snagit.
Right.
And actually, this is something going way back to when I launched my PR traffic course, because unlike other search tools, there wasn't really a way for you, when you did a press release, to actually go online and say, oh, it's number one in Google News for keyword or wherever it is. So I would actually use Snagit to just do a capture of where that search ranking was. And that gets to another feature too, because instead of just capturing the window, if you need to capture the entire page, it has what's called a rolling screen capture. Well, it'll just keep going. So I use it for that. I also use it for my swipe file. If I see a sales letter, that long traditional sales letter, and I'm like, hey, this is really good. This is a good resource when I'm writing my sales letters. You can use Snagit and it will capture everything from top to bottom. And then one other thing, which, it's there, but I think a lot of times people overlook it, is I even use it for a quick screen capture tool or even on camera tool like you would use for Camtasia. So if I wanted to do just a quick on camera, 3-minute video, I can launch Snagit. It's very easy. It's very low tech compared to some of these other video apps. And you can output it and format it in whatever, video format you want. So those are, and again, I know we're probably both just scratching the surface, but, it's definitely worth it. I've probably had it for over 10 years, and every time they come out with an upgrade, I pay for it.
So we're getting a few comments here. They're making me chuckle.
It's good we're not doing this the after hours edition, because then we wouldn't be wearing shirts.
Exactly. That's funny. Thanks, Andy. That made me chuckle. he said, "Where did you get that shirt from?" Which is funny because there's two shirts here. yeah, that's just funny.
Well, we could have a shirt off. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So are there any other tools, any tools that the viewers use that they want to type into the chat box? I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get ourselves back. See, it was a test. It was a test, and we failed the test. Somebody said, "What, like that shirt?" And we got totally,
totally off track. So now you're on the spot because Andy says, "I meant the blue one."
If I had an affiliate link, I'd put it in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, let me think about, let's see, what do I got here? You know, I mean, I could still come up, you know, with some other tools. now, yeah, okay, we opened the door. But on a plus side, there's more engagement. So, you know, I mean, it just, you know, clothing choices, you know, getting lost in those blue eyes.
Yeah, it's actually the glasses.
Yeah.
Computer blue light reflective things, but my eyes are actually green. but yeah. All right. So, what else you got? Anything?
You know, I'm wondering if, yeah, let me just give you one more. And I'm still investigating this. And actually, it's the stimulus for this was both Bill and I are big fans of AppSumo. AppSumo always comes up with these amazing deals. Software, a lot of times they're monthly programs, but AppSumo will give you a lifetime deal. And they had some accounting software. I'm like, oh boy, who gets excited over accounting software? But it was called Billy, and I still may get it, but I started looking around and I found another competitive app, which looked really good. And they had a 14-day trial called AndCo, AND.co. And what's cool about that is it's, you know, I mean, it allows you to set up online invoices and payments. And, you know, if you're a certain marketing service provider, and granted, this isn't directly related to publishing, but, you know, you got to pay the bill. So if you're publishing content, maybe you're publishing content for clients, you know, this is a nice systems operations app that you can add to your arsenal and instead of just kind of doing things the old fashioned way, you know, like Excel or Word or some other things. And then, you know, I don't know what possesses me, but I'm always looking for something as an alternative to, you know, like QuickBooks. So, and it does provide some really nice visually appealing way of looking at your money flow, what's coming in, what's going out. So, yeah. And co.
Yeah, many years ago I used QuickBooks, and oh my God, it sucked. Yeah, I don't know how it is now, but it was just a bear to set up, and it was hard to use.
Yeah. I mean, I still use TurboTax, and that's easier. But yeah, QuickBooks. I've hired people to say, help me understand QuickBooks.
Yeah, I actually use for my invoicing. It's a local company. I mean, they're worldwide, but they're based in the town next to me, called Zoho. You've probably heard of them. They have some products that are online products that are competitive with the Google Docs suite, and most of them are free. But they have an application called Zoho Invoicing or Zoho Invoice or something like that. And I think it's $8 a month or something, but it's very easy, intuitive. Stuff gets done. They, you know, the client can, you know, pay you in a variety of ways, and it's pretty solid. But I like these. I like the tools you mentioned too, because, you know.
And you know what? As you were talking, can I share one more? Which it'll work for the, you know, this is like happy hour conversation where we start getting all goofy, but. This is something that I think it's just Google, you know, you went back before about, you know, stuff you like with Google, G Suite. It used to be called Google Apps, but it's gsuite.com. And, you know, I mean, I just had the $5 a month deal, but here's what's cool about G Suite. You actually get customer service with Google. You can actually call somebody. I mean, if you ever tried to contact a live human at Google, good luck. So, but it gives you a nice kind of, you know, suite of apps. But one thing that, and I haven't really used this, is if you need to send, like if you're doing business prospecting and you have lists and stuff and you don't want to risk like your main domain, you could actually, G Suite allows you to send like 2,000 emails a day. That was the feature that hooked me. But frankly, it was just having an account rep at Google that you could actually call and say, what's up about blank. So G Suite, not G Spot.
That's a great insider tip. Actually, if you get the inside track to a live human at Google for $5 a month, I think that's worth it. Just for that alone, it's worth it. Cool. All right. Well, what we're going to do is like we did last week, we'll compile a list, put it into a PDF, throw it up on the web, attached to this video of, hopefully all of the tools we've talked about today. We'll also include a link to where Mark bought his shirt and where I got my glasses. So I think it's a complete show.
And you know what? I would also include where you get your haircut, even though that's more of a local thing.
Yeah. There's this, I didn't go there this last time, but there's this old time barber shop, but it's like, it reminds, I don't want to sound mean, but it sounds like, or it feels like kind of the sweatshop of barber shops, because there's, you walk in and there's like a U shape. You're walking into the U, the top of the U. And it's just filled with mostly women barbers, and they're mostly Asian, and they cut hair really fast, and they do it really cheap. And I don't know if this is a testimonial to that, but they do a really good job. And I don't know anywhere where you can get a haircut in California for less than $10, except for this place.
Okay, number one. We don't have anything like that in Nashville. However, I will tell you that I've traveled extensively in Asia. And when I was in China, the woman I was traveling with, she was getting her hair cut and styled. And so rather than just me sit around, she paid for, me getting it, not cut, but just, shampooed blow dry. But here's the big shift from what you would typically get here. Now that was around $10 US, but what I didn't know is with that I got a head, neck, and top shoulder massage, which was amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I was like, well, I see people cutting hair, but I'm getting a massage. So yeah, that was a really nice value add.
Yeah. Brings me back to when I was a kid. My barber, I had a regular barber as a kid, but he had one of those hand massage things.
Oh, the old ones. Yes. It's like the mobile version of the Motel Magic Fingers.
Yes. It was awesome.
I remember those.
They were awesome. And also, not when I was a kid, but later on, they did shaves with the straight razor. The best shave you're ever going to get. You can't find places like that anymore. And there's probably a reason. Well, I know there's a reason. There actually is a reason. There's some kind of law in California that says you can't use a straight razor, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course there is.
Because they're, unsanitary. They have to be disposable, which is like, what's the freaking point? Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's all other stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, how do we tie this back to publishing? Well, the answer is we don't. But, it is Friday. We're in a good mood. We hope we put you in a good mood with the tools and the tips and the anecdotes. So, this was a fun one, Bill. I always like talking tools.
All right. Well, like I said, we'll encapsulate everything into a PDF and throw it up with this video. So if you want to watch the replay, you can and grab that file. Happy Friday, and hope you have a good weekend, and stay out of the heat. It's been hotter than hell here, and it kind of sucks. So as soon as I'm off this call, I'm getting a beer and I'm going outside. Woohoo!
Bye, everybody.
Right. See you guys later.